The liberal hysteria over the Supreme Court's immunity decision has reached a new level of irrationality. I use the word irrationality carefully and with regret, because both the dissenters on the court and their minions in the media appear to have abandoned the principle of intellectual integrity in favor of a frothy rampage against Donald Trump. Here are just a few examples, beginning with Justice Sotomayor. Quote, "Today's decision to grant former presidents criminal immunity reshapes the institution of the presidency. It makes a mockery of the principle foundational to our Constitution and system of government that no man is above the law. Relying on little more than its own misguided wisdom about the need for bold and unhesitating action by the president, the court gives former President Trump all the immunity he asked for and more. Never in the history of our republic has a president had reason to believe that he would be immune from criminal prosecution if he used the trappings of his office to violate the criminal law. Moving forward, however, all former presidents will be cloaked in such immunity. If the occupant of that office misuses official power for personal gain, the criminal law that the rest of us must abide will not provide a backstop. With fear for our democracy, I dissent." Close quote. But that's not what the majority said. There is a stunning level of both dishonesty and disrespect in Justice Sotomayor's hypothetical. Dishonesty because her dissent posits that the majority's decision mocks the long-established principle that no person is above the law, when in fact, the majority's decision posited precisely the opposite, and I quote from the Chief Justice's exact words, "The president is not above the law." Check it out for yourself. It is on page 8 of the official Supreme Court 118-page decision document. It is dishonest for the dissenters to claim that the majority permits a reading that the majority opinion specifically and unambiguously refutes. And disrespect because the dissenters brazenly ignore the Chief Justice's assertion as if it were never made. Then on page 39 of that same document, the majority opinion further refutes the dissenters' claims with these words, quote, "Coming up short on reasoning, the dissents repeatedly level variations of the accusation that the court has rendered the president above the law. That rhetorically chilling contention is wholly unjustified. Like everyone else, the president is subject to prosecution in his unofficial capacity. But unlike anyone else, the president is a branch of government, and the Constitution vests in him sweeping powers and duties. Accounting for that reality and ensuring that the president may exercise those powers forcefully, as the framers anticipated he would, does not place him above the law. It preserves the basic structure of the Constitution from which that law derives." The dissent's positions in the end boil down to ignoring the Constitution's separation of powers and the court's precedent, and instead fear-mongering on the basis of extreme hypotheticals about a future where the president feels empowered to violate criminal law. Close quote. Justice Barrett's concurring opinion respects the majority's basic argument, but makes a worthwhile distinction about looking separately at the specific alleged criminality from the larger separation of powers argument. When understood in the context of the entire decision, the dissenters' assertions are respectfully refuted by the majority. Justice Sotomayor, by contrast, simply ignores the majority's argument. Is it therefore fair to assume that it's because she's more interested in feeding the media a memorable line with political ramifications, such as, "With fear for our democracy, I dissent," than she is in making an honest argument? I can see no other fair conclusion. This has been Colin Hanna of Let Freedom Ring for American Radio Journal.